We're turning in the Word of God to Jonah and chapter 2, and read Jonah chapter 2 and also Psalm 116. Jonah chapter 2, reading from the first verse. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Then turning back to Psalm 116, and verse number 1. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. We come this evening once more to this book of Jonah, and we find Jonah in verses 8 and through to 10 still in the fish's belly. We find, as yet, he has not been delivered to the dry ground. And last time when we were here, we saw how this man prays from the most unlikely of places, and yet God, the Lord God of heaven, hears his cry. And as you look at Psalm 116, the psalmist there says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. And so wherever the Lord's people are, we have that access, we have that privilege that we can call upon the name of God, that there is nowhere that we can escape the power, the scope and the seeing of our eternal God. And what tremendous comfort that is. No devil, no adversary, nothing that this world could throw at us could diminish and reduce this power and this privilege that we have. It underlines to us that here for Jonah, in the very depths of the sea, in the fish's belly, that God has kept his promise that he will never leave nor forsake his people. And when you look at Jonah chapter 2, you see how in his prayer it is full of the scriptures. We made mention of this, how that Jonah, he rehearses back to God what God has said and that what God has promised. And if we want to know whether our prayers will be answered, then one way is to look at the promises that God has made in his word and to pray them back to God. And as he is bound by his word, therefore what he has committed himself to will be accomplished. We thought also how our prayers and the word of God are linked. If we want to know how to pray better, then the simple answer is that we should know the word of God better. And if we want to know the word of God better, then we should pray more earnestly and more fervently. As you come to the word, you find a description of how we are and what we are like. And the more we study and the more the Spirit opens the scriptures to our hearts, we see the more and more of our great needs before God. We see our sin. We see our falling. We see our shortcomings. Also in the scriptures, as you read and as the Spirit applies it to our souls, we find the majesty and the glory of God, how holy he is and how he has that hatred toward our sin. We see his character. We see his workings. We see his dealings in this world. We can look at the life of the Saviour, and there we see how our salvation has been wrought and accomplished by him. And so we find the word and prayer is so often linked. The psalmist would say, quicken thou me according to thy word. That was his prayer, to enliven me through the words or by the words. We made mention of how Jonah had previously had his heart saturated in the scriptures, and here he is now in the fish's belly in sheer darkness, with no paper copies of the word of God to read or study, but Jonah has hidden the word of God in his heart. And so now in such a time of trouble, in such a time of bleakness and darkness, he can draw from those mines of God's word. And how important it is for us to have the word in our hearts, hidden, so that we may draw upon it in time of trouble and difficulty. Well, we turn this evening to verses 8 through to 10. And in many ways, finishing where we did in verse 7 is a bit of an unnatural break, but for the sake of fitting things in, we broke at verse 7, but we want to consider verse 8 through to 10. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. First thing I want us to think about is the false hope that there is outside of God. The false hope that is outside of God. Verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. In other words, those that follow after the things of this world, the vanities as it's spoken of here, they forsake their own happiness and their own blessedness. Jonah is here showing to us that there is only one way of salvation. And later on in that verse, in verse 9, we see how he declares very emphatically that salvation is of the Lord. In other words, there is no other hope. There is no other way of salvation. And in the previous chapter, we could see the foolishness of men and their idols, or men and their false gods. Read back in verse 5. When this storm is causing the ship to break up, these experienced mariners, they are fearing for their life. We read that they are encouraged for every man to pray unto his God. But what good did it do? Did it help? Did their gods come to their aid? Not at all. What they were doing was nothing more than vanity. It was all to no avail. Why was it that their gods did not answer? Why was it that their gods did not come to their aid? Well, we read Jonah's words here, that they are lying vanities. It's emptiness. It has an appearance of something, but it has no substance. And so these gods could not help because they had no power to help, because they are nothing. And Jonah says that those who follow after or look to such things are forsaking their own mercy or their own happiness. And how true that is. Millions in the world today are following after false gods, false idols, false religions. Where does it end? What is the result? Well, it ends in loss. It ends in destruction. It ends in an eternity away from God, punished for that eternity. This is where their following will take them. They are lying vanities. They are deceptive. They are seducing this world. And it takes them to ruin and destruction. All of their observation of ceremonies and religious duties, it doesn't bring them salvation and happiness, but rather misery and destruction. Idolatry and false worship doesn't confine itself to a recognized and established religion, but anything that takes the rightful place of God, our Creator. We live in an atheistic society. Organized religion of any shade is held pretty much with contempt. But even there we find people still have their idols. But their idols are different things. But they are still lying vanities. What are the things we might encounter? Well, people live for wealth. They desire to have more and more. Well, what happens in the end? Where does it lead? What is the outcome? Well, they may have all the wealth in the world, but there comes a day when they'll end up in the grave. And what good will that those possessions and that wealth be then? Another thing people do is live for pleasure. That is their God. That is what they strive for. They pursue after this satisfaction of the flesh. What does it end up in? It ends up in destruction. People desire, people live for that vanity of a long life. And they think that if all that is in this world is what we have round about us, so we need to be here for as long as possible. Well, we can see that all around us, the consequence of sin is death, and death comes to all. And we can see people all around, and we can include ourselves before the Lord met with us, that men and women, boys and girls, are living after these lying vanities at the expense of eternal blessedness. But Jonah, he declares, he has found, he has experienced that there is another way. And so the second thing we need to think about is the salvation that is of the Lord. Verse 9, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah, in his experience, comes to that position whereby he concludes that his salvation, and salvation in its totality, is of the Lord. Again, Jonah is demonstrating his knowledge of Scripture. Jonah is referring to Psalm number 3 and verse number 8. And there at the very end it reads that salvation belongeth to the Lord. And if we are to know deliverance and blessedness, if we are to know this true mercy that is spoken of in verse 8, then it comes only through the Lord. Throughout the history of the church, there have been debates and disputes about the nature of salvation. If you go back to the Reformation, this theme was very evident. And at the heart of the Reformation was this question: how is it that a man or a woman can be justified or be right in the sight of God? On the side of the established church in those days, there was this wrong view that salvation was somehow a kind of cooperation between God and man. God did his part and man had to do his work. But Martin Luther, he contended that as he studied Scripture, he found the answer was that we are justified by faith. We are not saved by works, but rather by the grace of God. And we still have to deal with the same issues today. They still have to be exposed and biblically answered. And so today people think that salvation may have something to do with God, that he has done something, but there's also my part to do as well. And really at its heart and root is a large dose of pride. We are either saying that we are not too bad, or we have some power and say in our destiny and our salvation. But here Jonah, in his experience and what we find in his life, he turns the tables. He concludes rightly that salvation is entirely of the Lord. And so as you look at Jonah, we find that there can be no other conclusion, because in his experience we find that salvation originates with God, it is accomplished by God, it is applied by God, and it is completed by God. Thinking about the salvation that originates with God. In the whole of Jonah chapter 1 and chapter 2, where we're up to this evening, we do not find Jonah taking any kind of initiative with regards to his salvation. In fact, what we find is the opposite. He doesn't run at all to the Lord, but he is running continually away from the presence of the Lord. Verse 3 of chapter 1, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And chapter 1 is describing that fleeing, that running, that escape from God. So Jonah has no thought, no desire, no any kind of initiative to seek God and to be saved. He was doing everything he could to stand in defiance against God and his ways. He is opposed. Jonah doesn't seek salvation, nor does he desire it. And we find that Jonah isn't a unique case. When you look at some of the disciples, you find when the Lord called Levi, Levi was sat at the seat of custom. He wasn't desiring to follow the Lord. He wasn't looking for the Lord, as it were. But as Christ called him, he followed. Again, Peter, when the Lord met with him, Peter had no desire. He had no thoughts of following the Lord. And yet when the Lord called him, he followed. When we think about Paul, what was he doing? He was running to destroy and persecute the church. And Christ met with him in a similar way to how Jonah was met with, and he was turned and he was transformed. This shouldn't surprise us as we come to the scriptures, because the scriptures conclude in Ephesians 2 verse 1 that we are dead in trespasses and sin. Take Lazarus. There he was, dead in the tomb. He'd been there for 4 days. He could only come forth when the Lord Jesus meets with him and calls him to himself. And if we are the Lord's, it is because of what the Lord has done. He has done something. Our salvation originates not within us, but in him. And we read how in Ephesians we are chosen from before the foundation of the world. It's not because we desired it. It's not that we have sought after it. It was God in his mercy has planned and initiated our salvation. We see, secondly, in this salvation being of the Lord, how that salvation is accomplished by the Lord. It wasn't that God has started something, it's now up to Jonah to finish it or to complete it. We see how God brings about this salvation for Jonah. Nowhere do we see Jonah being able to do his part. Nowhere do we see Jonah contributing in any way to his release and deliverance. We read about God in verse 17 preparing a great fish to swallow up Jonah. We read about God causing the fish to vomit Jonah out onto the seashore. But God is working in its entirety. When we look at the purchasing of our own salvation, it has all been done by Christ. We read how he has bought us with his own precious blood. The hymn writer says, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin, he only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And then at Calvary, as he is expiring, as he is saying his final words, he gives these words, "It is finished." What does he mean? He means that salvation is purchased, the debt is paid, every part of the work of salvation, it has been completed and fulfilled. Salvation accomplished by the Lord. And again, everyone that is saved has been saved because of what Christ has accomplished. And Jonah says, salvation is of the Lord. The third thing we notice is that salvation is applied by the Lord. In Jonah's experience, we see how the fish met him. It swallowed him at the right time and in the right place. Here, the work of providence working wonderfully. The timing is absolutely remarkable. If the fish were too soon or too late, or in the wrong place or at the wrong depth, it would have been disastrous for Jonah. But here, perfectly timed by God. The medium of the fish was appropriate, large enough in order to swallow him, but not too small that he would have been destroyed. And in the experience of the Christian, nothing is left to chance. It is not chance that we are here this evening. It is not chance that the Lord met with us when he did. It is not chance that the things that we face in our life that brought about the dealings of God in our soul. And at the appropriate time and in the appropriate place, the Lord meets with sinners. Just think about the first coming of the Lord Jesus. We read how it was in the fullness of time, just at the right time. You could look at a whole study and think about the geographical and the political and the language at the time as to how that was just the right time for the Lord Jesus to come and then for the further spread of the gospel in the subsequent years. Jonah says, salvation is of the Lord. We find that salvation is fulfilled by the Lord. Jonah's in the fish, in the belly of the fish. He's been saved from drowning. He looks back. He testifies that salvation is of the Lord, and soon he would be emitted up onto the seashore. And so from beginning to end, it is entirely of God that he has been saved. In no way and in no place can he say that God has done something and I have done my part. Salvation is of the Lord. Nothing he has done has contributed to his standing and deliverance before God. And when we consider glory for the believer, that safe arrival in heaven, from start to glorious completion, it will be because of what God has done for them. And in eternity, there will be that testifying, that rehearsing, that praising of what God has done in Christ. And so all glory will be to him. And so as Jonah says very clearly, salvation is of the Lord. The third thing that we notice is the way in which Jonah says in verse 9, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. And then we read how salvation is of the Lord. Here Jonah is looking in hope and faith that he will be brought forth and delivered. But we notice a change in his heart. No longer is he wanting to run from God, but rather to perform that which he has vowed. The promises that he has made. He wants to go and bring the sacrifices with a voice of thanksgiving. Because of what he has experienced and what God has wrought in his heart, it has a change in his life. And so he is now a man of worship. He is now a man of service. And he is a man who is filled with praise to God for all of his dealings with him. And so as we see, God working in the life of a sinner, we see how that when God works, it will be fulfilled and completed, but there will be evidence. There will be fruit, seeing that God has worked in the soul. And so Jonah lives a life, and he is promising to fulfill those promises that he has made. And so we find Jonah is brought forth. Verse 10, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. That bringing forth from the fish's belly would be difficult and unpleasant. The dealings of God with his people, for them, they may testify and say that it wasn't easy. It wasn't pleasant, but it was for our good. We could read in James, or we could read in Romans 8, for example, or we could see from the life of Job how that the dealings of God, he deals with his children, and sometimes they are hard. Sometimes they are difficult, but it is for the good of his people. Here Jonah is being vomited out onto the seashore, stinking, filthy, evident reminder of what he has done and where his sin has brought him. But at the same time, he knows the deliverance from death. This miraculous dealing of God with him, so that although he was cast into the sea and he would have surely drowned and have surely died, yet God brings him forth. And if we think about conversion, that is not often pleasant. It's not often easy. It may go on for time and time. It may be a long period that a child of God must go through before they have that comfort and that blessing and that knowledge and that assurance of salvation. But when that comes, how glorious that is. And so if it results in salvation, if it results in eternal life, oh, how wonderful it was. Not pleasant, not easy at the time, but it was for our good. And when we think about trials and difficulties, yes, they are hard. Yes, they are not what we would naturally desire. But they come from a God whose heart is love. They come from a God who works for our good, and it will be for our good. And so as Jonah is vomited out onto the seashore, onto the dry land, we find there in chapter 3, the word of God comes unto him a second time to arise and go. What a transformation in this man's life. The man that went running from God, God now calls him to be brought forth, as it were, like a new creature, a life from the dead. And this is what God does in the heart of the sinner. Jonah's testimony is that his salvation is of the Lord. From beginning, in its working out, and its glorious conclusion, it is of the Lord. Well, may the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Amen.